the horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. Change is now becoming evident in this nation. But it's not yet over. For my people celebrate, my church shouts with praise and honor. And yet, Pharaoh said he will let you go to worship the Lord. But once they left Egypt, they had to cast off the slave mentality. They had to cast off 430 years as slaves. They had to change their way of thinking. And my people are changing their way of thinking. But it can take 40 days or it can take 40 years. This is not the time to be disobedient. This is not the time to say, "Ooh, we have won, it's all over with." No, no, no. This is the time to seek me, saith the Lord. This is the time to seek what I would desire for my people. For I have created you to rule and to reign and to have dominion over all that you see. And my people have been displaced from politics, from education, even from the house of God. For that which is false has grown, and that which is genuine must rise to the surface. Don't let this be a surface event for you. Don't let it be just a time of, "Well, now we can go on with our own business." No, no, no. This is the time to do my business, saith God. This is the time to come together as one body, as a new man in the earth. This is the time to show my people, to show the world who I am, saith God. So rush not out. Don't be overly giddy, but rejoice in me. For I've given you this victory. And it's by your obedience that you have won it. It's because my people obeyed me. And this is a new thing for my people. For again, I delivered Israel over and over and over. And yet each time I delivered them, because I heard their cry, each time they went back to their own ways and their own way of thinking and their own way of doing things. I am preparing you for the kingdom, saith Jesus. Not just a celebration, but a kingdom of where I rule, of where my will is done, even as it is in heaven, that it would be done in the earth. It's a new day. It's a day of beginnings, not a day of endings. It's not a day of finishing. It is a beginning, saith God. So begin it with rejoicing. Enter into my house with praise and thanksgiving. Enter my house with your hands lifted up. Enter your house with praise in your mouth for what I am doing and will continue to do, but it's still dependent upon the obedience of my people, saith God, to not get caught up in the vain philosophies of men, to not get caught up that we finally have power and we're going to make them pay. No, 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 no. For that is not my way, saith God. For my way is that all would come into a saving knowledge of me, that they could all enter into the kingdom of God. For when I bless you, that blessing overflows, and that blessing flows to others. It's not something that I have created to only bless you, but where you go, the blessings follow, saith God. So let the blessings flow. Let me flow in your life and in your purpose and in your direction, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, for our new visitors, we have a favorite Bible verse that we quote every week, and we have seen out and out miracles through this verse over the years. We have seen miracle healings come out of this. We've seen people been in the hospital with the sentence of death over them, and this verse is one of the key verses that brought them through. So it's become a real powerful verse for us. It's 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You know, we're talking about leading us in triumph in Christ. And I believe God has done that through this election. I think he's done that to the church. 81 to 82% of the evangelical vote went all in one direction. That's the first time in a long time that that has happened. It has waffled back and forth, but this is the first time. And I was thinking about it during praise and worship. Not only have the horse and rider been thrown into the sea, not only has Roxanne shared at the beginning the vision that I had and the understanding that I got a couple weeks ago in prayer, it's when Bill Clinton, this is a prelude, when Bill Clinton was elected president, I stood up and preached, we have a Pharaoh in office that never knew Joseph. Because there were so many things that he had not experienced growing up and to be our first president. And with this election, that Pharaoh lineage has died. Pharaoh is no more in that household. But I was thinking during praise and worship, it came to me, two dynasties have been. The Bush dynasty has also been done away with. You know, and I was so disappointed in George Bush on so many levels, but one of the things he said, I am not here to lead a movement. I'm thinking that's what God wants. He wants a movement. He wants a revival. He wants his will done in the earth even as it's done in heaven. We're talking about kingdom principles. Kingdom principles go beyond individuals. They go beyond Democratic or Republican parties or Libertarian parties or whatever parties are out there. The kingdom of God supersedes all of these. And as I said, we've been talking about the kingdom of God just about all year. And we're into what are the kingdom gifts now. And the kingdom gifts come to operate in the kingdom. You've got to have the kingdom in you in order to operate in the gifts of the kingdom. But the gifts of the kingdom is what empowers the kingdom, or how the kingdom of God operates is through the giftings. So we need the giftings, but you need to understand how the giftings work. And we spent 9 weeks talking about how the giftings work. So now we're beginning to get into the actual gifts themselves. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every time I read this, this is such a powerful, powerful thing. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and hold your place there because we're going to be coming back to that. Even though we go in different places, we're always going to be coming back to this chapter. This is like the chapter on spiritual gifts, chapter 12 and chapter 14 out of 1 Corinthians. And we'll get into a lot of that later. But chapter 12, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know, it's a sad state in the body of Christ where these are the kingdom gifts that operate by the Spirit of God that the body of Christians know so little about this. Some people don't even know that there are gifts of the Spirit. They don't even, when you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, they have no clue what you're even talking about because we've ignored the Holy Ghost. Years ago, I had a denominational minister, and we were good friends. He came to me and says, Gordon, explain to me what you believe about the Holy Spirit. Explain to me your doctrine. And I started explaining my doctrine. He looked at me and says, you know, we believe the same thing. I said, I know you do. I said, the difference is I've experienced it where you just have doctrine. See, there's a big difference. But because we haven't experienced it, a lot of people today believe the Holy Spirit is just, it's an add-on. It's just, well, if you want to, you can. If you don't, if you're not interested, it's okay. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity? The Holy Spirit is God. Now, how would you like it if someone said, I want the Father, I want the Son, but I don't want any business with this Holy Spirit because it's freaky. You just called God freaky. So, well, I would never call God freaky. What you do? See, the reason it's freaky, because we haven't been taught about the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of misuse. There's a lot of people, the Bible tells us, we've been over this a little bit before, that people prophesy out of their own spirit, out of their own understanding, and not by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of false prophecy out there. That's why the Bible also tells us judge or test every spirit, not just the ones you don't like. Check out the ones you do like, because there can be pastors, there can be prophets. They speak to you exactly what you want to hear. It's not God, but it's what you want to hear. And because don't we all like prophecy that blesses us? If it agrees with me, oh, that man's a man of God. And the first time he rebukes you, I'm not too sure about his prophetic intentions. I'm going to challenge him in this. Why? Because your pride is on the line. Oh my. I'm not going to go there. We could go there, we're just ignorant of the Holy Ghost. We're ignorant of how He operates. We're ignorant of why He operates. We think that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are only supposed to work in the body of Jesus Christ. Actually, I agree with Bob Yandian, who preached this years ago, probably 30 years ago when I heard it for the first time. He said the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit were never designed to only operate in church. He said they are all evangelical gifts, evangelist gifts. They're to work on the outside. They're to work in your daily encounters. They're to work in your business affairs. They're to work in your relationships. But, you know, we've closed him off, and even some didn't. Well, I'll put it like this. We knew a Pentecostal girl that Debbie worked with when we first got involved in the Holy Spirit. And we didn't know anybody else who was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So Debbie was really excited to kind of talk with her and find out some things. And we found out that her denomination taught you could only pray in tongues after church service if the pastor called for people to come forward to pray at the altar. It was sin to speak in tongues any other time. And you couldn't just come to the altar and pray in tongues. You could only come if the pastor made an invitation to come. Then you could pray in the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Jesus said the Spirit will never leave you or forsake you, just like the Father will never leave or forsake you. Just like Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. But evidently, he believed the Holy Spirit only moved at his bidding. When he said the Holy Spirit could move. And the church has regulated that, and a lot of Pentecostal churches, God can only speak through the anointed or appointed men of God. And if anybody else speaks it, they're out of order. We went to a Kenneth Copeland meeting. I'm still really young at all this. Went to a Kenneth Copeland meeting, and he was, there was praise and worship, and he was at the platform, and all of a sudden, thousands of people there. This one person in the back raised up their voice and began speaking in tongues. And I'm thinking, I'm just watching. And Kenneth had a big ring on, and he's just thumping that ring on the pulpit, just. And I thought, ooh, watch this. This is out of order. He's going to get her. He's going to nail her. Oh, we're going to see this now. She got done. He interpreted. Guess who was out of order? Me. I learned not to judge by what I sense in my natural. I've got to listen to the Spirit of God. Here in Kaiser, I went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting one time. I forget now where it was. And it was here in town. And they had a man who had a gift of healings. And I wanted to go and see how he does it. This is how pastors work. We want to see how somebody does it so we can imitate them. So we know how it's done. So we do it properly and decently and in order. And we had the dinner. And they said, okay, now we're he preached a little bit. And said, okay, now we're going to begin to move over into healing. And I thought, well, this will be interesting. And the Spirit spoke up to me and says, get your eyes off the man and watch me. I'm thinking, what? I'm here to see what he does and how he does it, but you're telling me don't look. How do you watch people get healed and not look at the person? I'm thinking, do I close my eyes? I mean, I'm serious. This was all kind of new to me. I'm just kind of feeling it all out. And I can't even explain to you how I did it, but I was able to get my eyes off the technique and the words that he said, and I watched God. And I watched people's legs grow out 2 to 3 inches. I watched the power of God hit, and I walked out. I wasn't impressed at him, but oh, I was impressed with God. Of just how easy it was. And see, we make things so hard in the natural. You've got to be in, well, last time I prophesied, it was right here. Hallelujah. So that's the anointed spot. So I can't really prophesy till I get back to that spot. You know, if God would if I'm at the back of the church, and God would say, I want to speak through you. Oh, I've got to get to that spot because that's where it worked really good last time. It was a good word last time. I got to give it. And so we imitate and not follow the Spirit because we don't trust God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, dumb, misunderstanding about how the gifts of the Spirit operate. Let's go on to verses 2 and 3. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. I like that, dumb idols. They can't talk. They can't move. If an idol moves, you've got to move it. Call in U-Haul. Come on, back up, back up, back up. This is dumb. It's a dumb, stupid idol. And yet people bow down and worship it and bring it food. Yeah. Yeah, bring it food because idols have to eat. No, they don't. I like Pastor Samson from Africa. He said that they were going to this one village to minister, and they stopped outside the village, and they were hungry, and there was a little pond there, so they fished and ate the fish. I don't know how many of them they were, but evidently they cleaned out the pond. And when they got into town, somebody came around and somebody killed our gods and ate them. Dumb god. the fish, they worship the fish in the pond. Well, if it's a god, doesn't it know enough to not bite the hook? I mean, when you see the first one go, there's a clue. But they're dumb fish, they're dumb idols. They're just, and people give these things precedence in their lives, these dumb things, because we don't trust God to lead us. He says, they're carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, this is how Gentiles, this is a mark of Gentiles. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, back then, there was all kinds of things going on. There were all kinds of prophets. Prophecy was not as abnormal back then as it is today. Every Gentile temple had a prophet. They had their oracles. They would kill the sheep or the goat or the snake or whatever, and they would read its entrails, read its guts. It's like, oh, wonderful. God's going to speak to you this way. Well, yeah, or they would roll dice. Or they would, but prophecy was not an unusual thing in those days. They'd have, so very, very easily in their day, they would have had prophets, Gentile prophets, that have been maybe just born again, that have been under demonic influence, been under demonic instruction, and they come into church, and they might very well prophesy, Jesus is accursed because he is coming against the gods of our city. And he said, okay, you Gentiles, understand when somebody does that, it's not the Spirit of God. And we would say, well, yeah, duh. You know, but now listen to this. I'm going to bring this up to date to talk about us. Today it's highly unlikely that you're going to walk into a church and have a prophet of any kind stand up and say that Jesus is accursed. They're probably not going to say. It's possible, but someone prophesying by the Spirit of Christ, you know, claiming to be by the Spirit of Christ, is not going to call their benefactor accursed. It's just not going to get done. But we are saying this. If we prophesy to others and do not apply the word of the Spirit in our own lives, if you're prophesying to other people, and you're not applying it to you, you're calling Jesus accursed. Because you're saying, it's good for you, but I don't have to abide by it. I don't have to live by the standard that you need to, because I'm God's person, and I'm talking to you. And a lot of prophecy comes out that way. If you listen to it, too much prophecy comes out. That's why the Bible says the spirit of prophet is subject to the prophet. That means you can control it. That means when it comes out, you still have authority over the prophecy that comes out. And we've talked about how a lot of prophecy comes out of our own spirit. If you get around an angry prophet, he's going to prophesy out of anger. If you come out of a prophet that's scared, he's going to prophesy out of his fear. You know? America is doomed. We're going the way of Egypt. We're going, God's going to over it, just wipe the whole nation off the face of the earth. It's like, is that God? No. But it's fear. And they'll prophesy out of their fear. And there's been a lot of that going on. Because I've had discussions with Debbie, and I'm worried for this nation. I'm scared for where we're going. I've heard so many people and so many prophets say we have passed the mark of no return, where we'll never be able to come back to God. The church has seen its best days. It's all behind us. And I'll tell her how worried I am and how fearful I am about that. It makes me nervous. I mean, I just get afraid of that. You know, I don't want to see persecution like China or Russia or in the Muslim countries, even in Africa or South America. I don't want to see that kind of persecution come to the United States, but we've been close. And there's a lot of people who still think you and I need to go to re-education camps that are Americans. And I get really worried. And we'll come to church and the Lord will have a word. I am not done with this nation yet. The best days are ahead. God talks about a great revival, and I've prophesied that several times, and every time it comes out of my mouth, on the inside, I say, oh, God, please, let it happen. Say, I've got to start believing what I prophesy. Have you ever been there? I read the Bible, and I'm telling you got to have hope. You got to have hope. It's like, I don't have any hope. It's like, you got to talk to yourself. Amen? You got to tell yourself, self-hope. Self, get right. Self, get out of your stinking attitude. Get out of your self-pity. Get out of these things. Get rid of it and get in the Spirit of God. Amen. Do you know, God will never say, it's all over with. Why? His words come to pass. If he says it's over, it's over. Hello? I mean, it's settled. He does not withdraw his word. But see, God is a God of hope. God is a God of second chances and third chances and umpteen chances. And God's calling is still going out there. And any nation, you can see it in Israel. I mean, Israel ought to be wiped off the face of the earth for what they've done, how they've treated God, how they've ignored God. And yet God still says, but I'll turn you. I'll bring you back. And I'll bring back my throne to David, and I'll bring back this, and I'll bring back all these other things. Why? Because God doesn't know defeat. Now, did you hear that? God doesn't know defeat. God says that people have prophesied, not the way we think of prophecy, but they prophesied. Healing has passed away. Did God change? Is God confused? Oh, today I'll heal, but not tomorrow? I mean, remember, healing was not all as uncommon in Israel as what we think it was. Neither was casting out devils. Jesus is in synagogue, and they're asking him a question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Why? And they told Jesus at one time, why don't you go heal these six other days of the week? We don't have any problem with that, but don't heal on the Sabbath, because healing was work. You don't work on the Sabbath. You don't heal on the Sabbath. That's like saying to God, well, you can't do any good on the Sabbath. He tells us the Sabbath was not made for men. The Sabbath was made for us that we could relax, that we could have a moment of peace, that we could get away from the pressure of the world. But man wasn't made for the Sabbath. In other words, he didn't create us to do nothing on the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath for our rest, for our benefit. Well, if I need to be healed on the Sabbath, you think God's going to say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't do that on Sabbath? No. God's the same. He never changes. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 7. Told God this morning, I've got a lot of material and I don't know how far we're going to get today. It's like that every Sunday. Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 3. Now let's back up, since we've just got a few minutes. Let's back up to verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure, get this, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, he's clearly telling us here that you got to be careful. There's got to be some wisdom at this. But so much of our understanding of the gifts of the Spirit is because our problem is we've got a speck or a plank in our own eye. And we can't see straight, but we're wanting to tell everybody else how to do it. I found out a long time ago, when I take my car to the shop, I don't try to tell the mechanic how to fix my car. Because I'm like the kid. Has anybody ever done this other than me? You would take a watch apart and try to put it back together, and you'd throw away the pieces that you couldn't get it back in. And then you'd shake it. Maybe it'll work. No. See, I learned a long time ago, I am not a mechanic. I am not gifted in that area. If you want your car fixed, I'll give you a phone number of who to call. Okay, but and I'll come and stand there and say, well, I don't know what the problem is. You know, I can give you all that kind of, but don't ask me to fix your car. Not if you want it fixed. Not if you want it to run right. But there's so many people when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, they're trying to tell everybody else how the gifts ought to operate, and they've never operated in them for themselves. I learned a long time ago, if I don't know something, I'm watching and learning. I'm going to pay attention. See, when we got involved in the Holy Ghost, we didn't know anybody that was Spirit-filled. I even had a lady, after we got baptized in the Spirit and spoke with other tongues, we had a lady that had been part of that denomination and left because it was non-charismatic and nobody was interested in the gifts, and she came to me to witness about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we sat there and talked, and she never got to it. And finally, she just left, and she called me up a couple days later and said, I'm sorry, I wanted to come and talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she said, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I said, well, I would have loved to talk, because I said, I just recently received the baptism. You did? I said, I don't have a clue. Just really not a clue. All I knew was from what Kenneth Copeland said, the Spirit will not disagree with the Word of God. So how do I test the Spirit? I test it against the Word of God. That's my only test. I can't test it with other prophets, because we all prophesy with our own personality. You know, Debbie and I can have the same word. It'll come out different between the two of us. Why? God chooses me because he wants my personality to come out. God chooses Debbie because he wants her personality to come out with it. He'll choose somebody else because he wants their personality to come out in that gift. That's why the Holy Spirit chooses. It's not up to us. I don't come into church, I'm going to have a word of the Lord this morning. I don't come in and say, well, I'm going to prophesy about this. But I know people that they will stay at home to come up with a word of the Lord and write it on paper so when they come to church, they can have a word of the Lord. Well, I'm not saying God can't work like that, but it just seems like that's awful prepared. But a lot of people prepare the moving of the Spirit. I don't want to put him in a box. I want to be obedient to him, not have him obedient to me. Amen. But he says, Jesus calls these people hypocrites because here they are. They've got their own problem, but they're trying to straighten everybody else out. And when it comes to the working of the gifts of the Spirit, so often we're trying to tell people how they ought to do it when we don't have a clue how to do it for ourselves. So every time God began to move, one Sunday he began to move through me, or Saturday night, I was praying over the service, and he began to move through me, and I'm praying in tongues and just building myself up according to Jude and according to some other scriptures, and all of a sudden it started coming out in English. And I stopped it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to sin against you. And I went back and started praying in tongues, and it started coming out in English again. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I just don't feel like this is right. I don't have scripture to back this up yet. And I started thinking, and I think it was just a witness of the Holy Spirit. And I just said, Lord, if this happens again, I'm going to let it go. Forgive me in advance, Lord. Forgive me in advance, because I don't understand this stuff. I don't know what's going on. But as I began to pray in tongues, it started coming out in English, and it just was prophecy about the service the next morning. It wasn't a big thing. It wasn't a huge thing. But God just told me a few things that were going to happen that morning in service. And so I just hit it in my heart, like Mary did with the word of Christ. I just hit it in my heart and go to church. Didn't tell Debbie, didn't tell anybody. And that morning, everything that God told me came to pass. I go, wow, this is interesting. This is really curious. God knows in advance what's going to happen. If I just listen to him, I can find out some things. Now, does God tell you every Sunday? No, he doesn't. Partly because I don't ask. Because one Sunday I had this wonderful message prepared. Really, it was really a good message. I never have preached it, and it was a good message. And I got to church that morning, and I mean I worked so hard that week. I worked so hard. I struggled on that message. It was so hard. I had to work and work and work, and finally I got it all hammered out and all ready to go. And it's like, okay, I'm settled with it. I'm ready to go. And we got to church, and God did a whole different thing, and I never got to preach. I mean, he just moved in the service. And I went home afterwards. I said, God, why didn't you tell me? I know you know things, but why didn't you tell me? He says, because you would have tried to organize it. I said, why did you let me put all that work in the sermon? He said, well, it kept you busy, didn't it? I tell you, he's got a sense of humor. But see, so often we're trying to work out how the Holy Spirit's going to do things, and then we put our level over him, say, well, Lord, this is how I think you ought to do it. And God says, uh-uh. I'm not doing it. See, we yield to the Spirit. We don't control him. And a lot of prophets, a lot of denominations, a lot of churches are trying to control the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll give you a clue. They're afraid of wildfire. And there is wildfire. There's some things that go on that aren't in accordance with the Spirit. They're not the way that God would have it do. But there's always wildfire that is trying to creep in. And people are so afraid of something happening that is out of control. Well, first of all, it's not out of control. You can control it. You can take authority over things. And if something does happen in church that shouldn't happen, well, don't get upset about it. It'll get worked out. I think I've told you the story. We had a guy come to Bible study before we started Living Faith, and he started giving messages and in the words of the Lord and stuff. And a couple of us got together and said, you know, his words, there's nothing really wrong with him, but it's just scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. In other words, I could memorize scripture and give you that word. And I said, we're not really sure if this is of the Lord or not. And we said, well, let's test it. So we prayed and we said, Lord, next time he begins to, because we all have mannerisms before you give a word. We all have that. And if we watch him and he starts acting like he's going to get ready for a word, we're going to take authority over it in Jesus' name. And Lord, if it's not you, we're going to shut his mouth. Wow, can you do that with God? Not if it's God. Because see, if it is God, we want it to go on. But if it's not God, we stop it in Jesus' name. He started giving the word again, and he opened his mouth, and nothing came out. He never came back to Bible study again. Never came back again. I was an advisor for GLOW here in Kaiser for a number of years, and we had some new advisors come in, and the role of the advisor was you didn't conduct the meeting. You just were there to protect and to watch over things. You weren't supposed to have any part in the meeting as such. And this one minister came in, and he had a word of the Lord. You're not supposed to do that. This is a women's meeting. They have leaders that have been called by God to lead up the meeting. He was superseding the leadership of the meeting, okay, and the order of the meeting. Next week he came, or next month he came in, and I thought, yeah, I really don't like this. And I did the same thing. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, if this spirit is not of you, if it's of man, I shut it up. I command this thing to just be quiet and not be able to say anything. So he got about 3 words out that month. See, some people love to go and prophesy. And wherever they're at, they've always got a prophecy. That makes me a little bit nervous. It makes me nervous in church when we have so many prophecies that come out. It really does. It concerns me. And I asked the Lord about a year and a half ago, Lord, how long are you going to keep this up? He says, as long as you let me. Wow. See, we can close this baby down anytime we want. But this pastor, he began to give out some words, to speak. And I said, not in Jesus' name. If this is not you, God, I shut it down. He got about 3 or 4 words, and it just ran out. Nothing to say. Last time he showed up at the Aglow meeting, I thought you signed up to be a director. I thought you signed up to be an advisor for these. I thought you were here to protect. No, he wasn't there to protect. He was there for his own reputation. He didn't care about the people he was servicing. He cared about his reputation. So the first time that he got exposed, he backed off. We went to a pastor's meeting one time. I'll close it here. But we went to a pastor's meeting one time up in, I think it was New Jersey. And God told me to take this one pastor out to lunch. And we took him out to lunch. And we sat down. He's starting to talk with me. He says, do you have the gifts of prophecy? Do you move in the gifts? I said, well, yeah. What kind of words have you had? I thought, oh, we're going to play comparison here. We're going to compete with one another, Charlie, to see who has the best, coolest word, the most current now word. We're going to really get into this. This isn't spiritual. This is carnal. And I told him, I really don't want to get into that. I said, I really don't believe that you should, do things like that. What kind of gifts do you have? Sometimes God will show me a person with a red shirt. And I know I'm going to have a word over that person, Richard. Well, I believe that can happen. He said, what kind of words do you have? Well, I've never had God tell me somebody in a certain color of shirt or someone's going to be in the meeting. I've never had. I don't really seek him for things like that. Maybe that's why he doesn't show it to me, but I don't seek those. And he kept pushing and pushing. Finally, God said, okay, give him this experience that you've had, this vision. And so, okay, so I told him the vision. We didn't talk about gifts of the Spirit anymore. Now, that's not to build me up. I've missed it. But it's to say we can get into such competition because we're ignorant. We're just dumb on some things. Well, the way you get smart is you spend time in the Holy Ghost and find out what He wants. What He wants done. He'll take you along at your course. He'll take you along at the speed that you can go along at. Well, Gordon, how come you have... I had one person say, I don't need to be taught by men because the Bible says the Holy Ghost teaches me. Well, yeah, I believe that too, but God's used a lot of people in my life. I mean, we've accumulated a lot of wisdom and knowledge over the last 2,000 years. A secret. I'm believing to live to be over 100. But that's not 2,000 years. In that 100 years, I cannot spend enough time with God to know what John the Revelator knew. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He was caught up in the Spirit on the Isle of Patmos. God showed him things. I want a revelation like John. I'm not John. I'm Gordon. I'm not stuck on an island somewhere waiting to die. I'm in Kaiser. God's not going to deal with me that way. But He'll show me the things I need to know. Amen? So the Holy Spirit leads us. We don't lead Him. Oh. Well, next week we'll start off on 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is all the same God who works all in all. But, now catch this, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We've talked about this so much. When you start using the gifts of the Spirit to exalt you, it's no longer for the profit of all, and you will, I guarantee you, you will get into error. Because the gifts become more about you than about the people that God wants to serve. See, God gives us insight. He gives us direction. He gives us purpose. He gives us value. But when you start exalting yourself in the gifts of the Spirit, you're already in error. You're already missing the mark. And probably what comes out of you is going to miss the mark too. Now, when we were talking about this earlier, I always use the illustration, God uses donkeys sometimes. But He only used them once. That means, you can have a right prophecy out of a wrong heart, but don't expect it to continue. Because God wants a right heart. He wants us to be right with him and right with people. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. Glory be to God. He's teaching us. Now, I'm sharing these things with you that when the kingdom becomes manifest, you will know how to work in those gifts. That you will have an understanding that many of those who operate in the gifts don't have. But I'm giving it to you so that you can work properly in me, that I can do the things I want to accomplish and not just settle and lift up men, but I will lift me up, saith the Lord. And I will do those things in my time and in my way, but it will be by my power and not by the will of men. So learn these things and set them on the inside of you, that you can walk right with me, that the gifts of the kingdom will flow through you properly, that my kingdom would be established wherever you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are God and there is none beside you. We thank you, God, you've given us the power to have dominion. You've given us exousia. You've given us dunamis power. God, we praise you, Lord, that you have set these things within our grasp. And Lord, we set these things and humble ourselves under your mighty hand. That you would have your way in us, your way in Kaiser, your way in Living Faith, your way, Father, that you would be exalted above all things. For this isn't about us, it's about you, Father. And we put you first place in everything. Now, Father, I pray a blessing on the congregation, a blessing as we go out, God, that you will cause us to return with your blessing. Lord, that we will give witness and testimony to your blessing upon us all week long. So, Lord, we thank you and we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.